Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY25 results conference call of AGI Greenpac Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Lahoti from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Yusuf. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management of AGI Greenpac and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today Rajesh Khosla, Chief Executive Officer, Om Prakash Pandey, Chief Financial Officer, and Sandeep Sikka, Group CFO. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, Mr. Pandey.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to AGI Greenpac Q2 FY2025 earnings call. We have already uploaded our earnings presentation for Q2 FY25 on the stock exchange website and on our website. Despite a scheduled furnace shutdown, the company reported total income of 611 crore rupees, while EBITDA increased 20% year-on-year to 166 crore rupees, with a 27% margin. Profit after tax grew 28% year-on-year to rupees 72 crore. In H1 2025, the company reported total income of rupees 1,188 crore. EBITDA grew 12% year-on-year to rupees 313 crore, maintaining a 26% margin. Profit after tax increased 13% year-on-year to rupees 135 crore. Our plant furnace relining project completed in August 2024 will enhance our operational efficiency and help us to capitalize on the growing demand for the glass container. We are confident in our ability to deliver strong financial performance in the year to come. Our positive outlook is underpinned by our robust business strategy, which Mr. Khosla will outline along with the key business highlights. Now, I would hand over the call to Mr. Khosla.
Thank you, Mr. Pandey, and good evening to all. We continued our growth momentum this quarter. Despite a scheduled furnace relining, we maintained a strong glass container capacity utilization of approximately 93% this quarter. The furnace resumed operation in late August 2024. Our focus on cost efficiency, including optimizing production and supply chain management, led to the improved margins. Moreover, our strong customer relationship and tailored product offering helped us maintain a robust market presence. We continue to expand our international presence through exhibitions in UAE, USA, and Europe to boost our visibility and facilitate networking with the potential clients and partners. In October 2024, we incorporated Sunreach Pack FZE, a wholly owned subsidiary in the United Arab Emirates, to expand our global footprint and increase exports. Sustainability is the cornerstone of our business strategy. We are proud to receive SEEM National Sustainability Award Gold 2023 for our community contribution towards our manufacturing plant, focusing on climate change, water stewardship, waste minimization, employee well-being, and empowerment. We continue to invest in initiatives to reduce our carbon footprints and further strengthen our commitment to sustainable practices. With a strong foundation and strategic focus, we are poised for growth and long-term success. Now, we would like to open the call for any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello team. Am I audible?
Yes, hello? Please go ahead.
Okay. Very good set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions. So first to start with, if I look at the trend of other expenses over the last couple of quarters, it is steadily trended down and just inched up a bit in this quarter compared to the last quarter. So how have been able? Is there a seasonality angle to this other expenses line item, or there are some actual reduction exercises which we are taking, which is reflective of this?
So shall I answer question?
Please go on. Please go.
So I will not be able to quantify the figures here or the response which I am trying to give. As you know, for the purpose of acquisition of Hindustan National Glass, there are subset of litigations which have been filed at various courts. It will be NCLT, NCLAT, High Courts, and Supreme Court also.
Okay.
There was a lean period in between, and now I think since the hearing is going on now in almost all the courts, so you, in the short term, you may see some trend going up, but ultimately it'll phase out once the adjudication is done. So this is primarily on that account.
Got it. So in December 2023 quarter, it was 240 crores. Before that, it was 245 crore. Then last quarter 208, and now 223. So this up and down, and while the top line has almost been in a range, not been much different. So this large variation of 15-20 crore on a quarterly basis, so one of the parties is what you're mentioning, is it that, and what else it could be?
It's primarily towards that.
Okay, understood. Then the gross profit expansion is visible. You have been mentioning a couple of calls regarding what efficiency enhancement we have been doing along with product mix change. So I assume the expansion of our gross profit is a resultant of that. Now, moving to our outlook with respect to the current capacity and plus what debottlenecking which we keep doing on. So, over the next 2-year period, what sort of volume growth or a revenue growth visibility can you give us? With the existing capacity, what sort of top line is achievable? Because I understand in running a furnace, efficiency is the most important thing, and we are able to capitalize that through our years of experience and able to utilize the asset to the maximum. So how should we read about what sort of maximum volume or output you can get from the furnace over the next 2-year period, which will result in the top line growth?
I think since we are operating the furnaces with a reasonably very high capacity utilization, so I don't think so. We can multiply the volumes like that, but we will be all the time looking ahead for debottlenecking a lot of capacities, or areas where we can increase our product mix or production or something like that. So it is only the debottlenecking which is expected now, unless until there is some visibility on the capex side. Yes, we are looking ahead for some sort of a inorganic growth with the cases which are going on in case of SNG. So we hope that thing goes up, and then the volumes will certainly going to multiply.
I think we lost the connection from the current participants. We will move to the next question from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much for the opportunity and congratulations on a fabulous quarter. I have a couple of questions. So my first question is on the soda ash price. I understand that you have a long-term contract with the suppliers, which help in containing volatility. But considering that you know, the Chinese soda ash prices have reduced by almost 45% year till date, is there any contractual benefit that you might get from that significant drop?
I don't think so, that the soda ash prices have fallen drastically. It's not like that. The soda ash is a commodity, and the prices are purely depend upon demand and supply, and plus any other cost additions. Today, because of the Israel and Iran war, so there has been a lot of disturbance on the normal freight areas and normal freight rates. So the freight has gone up a bit of that, but overall, because of the demand and supply, the soda ash basic prices have little come down. So because of this, it is almost balanced out with, I think, small 2-3% here and there. It normally happens. And I think the prices are reasonably in the controlled manner. And as far as, I think your next part was about Chinese soda ash, am I right?
That is correct, yes.
What exactly you want to know about Chinese soda ash?
No, I meant that the exchange price, the commodity price for Chinese soda ash has fallen down, but I understand the fact that considering the freight increases.
In the case of China, there is one capacity which has come up in Inner Mongolia, which has a little bit changed the scenario of demand and supply. But those exchange prices of soda ash are basically for the local soda ash or the local Chinese prices. So they are not basically applicable globally, and they have not affected much on the global scale.
I understand. Thank you for explaining that. My second question is on the FMCG segment of the business. I believe it is about 17% of the glass container revenue mix. Can you help me understand on a high level how much would it be mass segment and the premium FMCG segment? Because mass segment is uncertain in terms of sustainability of using glass containers with many factors such as low viscosity liquids, cost, and PET alternatives, although I remember you mentioned high-quality PET alternatives are more expensive than glass. However, there is some sort of quartz coating on the inner surface which helps PET bottles to be having inner surface properties equivalent to glass. So if you can just help us understand on a high level the you know, the segment split among mass and premium FMCG for glass and the sustainability of it going forward, please.
Okay. Since there is a lot of disturbance which is happening, I do not know, maybe it is from what side, my request to the person who is organizing is, can you see little bit where exactly this disturbance is going on?
It was, the little disturbance was from the participant line only from Mr.
Okay, Kishit. So because I was not able to understand the question exactly, but whatever I understand, it means like that, in the case of plastic or PET, there has been a lot of development where they can produce the better quality of the bottles, and is it affecting the glass industry or not? Is this the question, if my understanding is right?
Yes, I mean, more so just trying to understand the split between the premium versus mass among the in the FMCG sector and the sustainability of both the segment going forward.
Okay. If my understanding is right, please correct me then. This packaging is a very, very typical of the Venn diagram, if you can work it out. There are the products which are only in the glass. There are the products which are only in the plastic. There are products which are only in the cans.
And then there is an overlapping area where you can use either PET or glass, it can interchange. And there is a constant, transformation which is happening from glass to plastic, plastic to glass, which is happening in country to country, product to product, company to company, area to area, time to time. So this is the reason because it works out, which is more economical as such. Sometimes because of the pressures on the sustainability, it got changed to the glass. Sometimes because of the less pressure, they go back to the PET. As such, globally, there is a clear signal that things should change to more sustainable packaging, which is a glass packaging. PET is gaining, has gained a bit of points, but I don't think so on a long-term basis, they have any bright future in the times to come. So the glass will take a bit of time, maybe slow, but ultimately the glass will take over the PET either today or tomorrow.
I understand. I appreciate your answer to this. And if I may just ask a final question about the Hindustan National Glass acquisition. So we did some primary and secondary research from which we understood that the operating costs, primarily the energy requirement for the HNG furnaces are high. Please correct me if I'm wrong. This is either due to the heat loss on account of delayed maintenance or due to the infrastructure of the plants allowing only a very smaller share of cullet, which increases the temperature required to melt the entire product inside the furnace. So if you can please talk a little bit about the entire premise of the HNG acquisition, is it to largely control, further control the share of the market in terms of north and eastern markets of the existing primary premium clients, or there are additional strategic reasons, please?
So we cannot divulge any information relating to the acquisition for two reasons. The entire proceedings are right now subsidized before the courts, and also we have a confidentiality clause till the acquisition is done. But generally, we can make a statement that once the furnaces are not maintained over a period of time, the thickness of the refractory linings comes down, and on account of which there is radiation losses happening, which results in higher energy consumption. So we won't be able to take your question specifically relating to the acquisition. But whatever public data is there on the HNG website, I think you can use that to make an assessment thereof.
I understand. Appreciate your responses and thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Zaki Nasir, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a very decent set of numbers, sir. My first question is, sir, the kind of growth we had in the first half, do you think that will continue in H2? And my second question would be, sir, our plant of 156 tons per day of specialized glass, are we producing the kind of glass which we set out to produce in that plant, sir? Thank you.
Rajesh.
Okay. As the business leader in the glass industry and as a corporate member, we are always optimist on the outcome of the future. And since we have done quite good in the H1, and we hope that we will continue to do the same in H2 also. Yes, there are some parameters. There has been good amount of tailwinds which has helped us in doing the same. But we hope that these tailwinds can be continued and consistently going to help us, because we are also putting a lot of efforts on the more sustainable outcomes like productivity and outcome, efficiency, product quality, relationship. So all those aspects are being geared up. So we hope to continue the same in the times to come.
Sir, and about the specialty glass, I mean, Is the plan doing what it set out to do?
Yes, I think we are on the track, and certainly in these set of numbers, this specialty glass has contributed quite a lot. And still, I think there is a gap in what we expect or that we wish and aspire to do and what where we are. So these gaps, though it is a, it's quite a benefit to us, because that much of leverage we are expected to get in the future. So we are quite, we are on track, we are doing good, and we hope to do much, much better in the times to come on the specialty class. So things are working quite well as per the plan. Yeah.
Thank you, sir, and best wishes for the remainder of the year, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Giri Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Sorry, my line got disconnected. My bad. So my question was regarding the volume growth expectation and what max we can do over the next 2-year period. Yeah, from the existing capacity and then the debottlenecking which we have done.
See, as far as debottlenecking is concerned, I think all the numbers have already been out. And right now, there is no such greenfield project right now which is in process or in progress. But obviously, the acquisition of HNG is in pipeline. So we hope that things will work out well in our favor. And we hope to add up the capacity in the very near future. Because of this inorganic growth.
No, definitely, sir. And from a, from our AGI Greenpack perspective, what is the, you know, how much we can add in terms of the volume? How much growth we can do organically?
I think all the debottleneckings have already been done now. So we have to sustain that debottlenecking. And more efforts are now working on fuel efficiency, productivity, and product quality. So now we are trying to debottleneck on these parameters. So and these are certainly going to add a lot of value in our top line and bottom line. So we are working on those lines now.
Understood. So if I heard it correctly, you mentioned the growth. So the current quarter number, what we did, like a similar kind of performance we can do in the next 2 quarters.
In this quarter, we were not operating one of the furnaces for quite a long time because it was under relining. So obviously, those volumes are going to add up in the future.
In the future. Okay. And sir, realistic, I mean, where is the metal stock in terms of HNG court case? So so where is the hurdle and... So what makes you positive about it that, you know, in the short term...
So there are a subset of litigations on Hindustan National Glass. The prime litigation has been there in Supreme Court for now more than a year. Mm. But the good part is that the matter is continuously heard. And we feel that hearings should get completed in another 1 or 2 days. Whenever the next hearing is on coming Wednesday, and on Wednesday, after which the courts will take a decision.
Okay.
We are optimists, you know, on the outcome of this. The matter is under the Supreme Court. I think we'll have to all wait for it to pass through, and then we feel that once this is done, and everything is in our favor, then NCLT can move very fast on this matter.
Okay, and once we once the acquisition is in our favor, once the ordering is in our favor, how so? What is the next step? So, what will be the cost of acquisition for us then, and how do we plan to fund it?
So there are some things which are right now confidential to the entire thing. Because the entire resolution plan proceedings are confidential in nature till it is approved by the adjudicating authority, which is NCLT. So we'll be disclosing this upon the order from the court once the NCLT approves it. So then at that time we'll make the appropriate disclosures as per the requirement of the laws. So till that time, you know, I'm restrained not to talk about it.
Thank you.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Shah from Insightful Investments Managers.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Congratulations to the team for a good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. One, obviously, as you said, in this quarter and even in the previous quarter, we lost some volumes because of the relining. So in the next half, that is the second half, we should be able to, you know, have better volumes. Could you put some number to that in terms of, you know, percentage increase or absolute in terms of metric tons?
Slightly difficult. The reason is when you reline the furnace, the behavior of the furnace is a little difficult to predict. And since this furnace we have started in the month of August, and we just started our firing the furnace, and September onwards they start sending. So signals are quite good. Normally it takes a quarter time to stabilize the furnace with the normal volume. So we are expecting that certainly we are going to get the volumes what we are expecting or what we have indicated the investors before. So we will be able to catch up those numbers whatever we have indicated before.
Right. And in general, one question related to the festive season, because, you know, it's almost about 5 weeks post the September results, which we are talking about. How has that season been? Some qualitative comment from you would...
Sir, we are very lucky in India. We have it throughout the festive season. So Diwali has finished and now Christmas and New Year is about to come. And after that, the Holi will be there and then Pongal and other things will be there. So nowadays, I think the Indian economy is doing quite well and festive season is throughout the year. So I don't think so. With the very small peaks, I can say very small peaks, which are affecting nowadays with the traditional festive season, what we talk about. Now practically the whole year is more or less flattened, or we have the peaks in practically every quarter with this small peaks in every quarter. Big and small.
In general, you're happy with the way October has gone?
Yeah, sir. As long as Indian economy do well, sir, we all will do well, sir.
Right. So third question is on power and fuel. You know, how much of the power and fuel requirement of ours is now through renewals? And, you know, because of that, what's the kind of cost structure or cost change that has happened over the last few years? If you could just...
There are two aspects. One is the thermal energy, one is the electrical energy. On the electrical side, Mr. Pandey, you please confirm. I think we are close to 17-18%, something like that.
Sorry?
No, I'm just asking my colleague.
Sure.
Mr. Pandey?
Yes. You're right.
Okay. So we are close to 17-18%, and we are now trying very hard to increase this number to a much larger number, maybe close to 40% or something like that. We are in process of discussion and finalization. As far as thermal energy is concerned, so in case of thermal energy, we have started using biofuel. The biofuel is under the test now. Results are yet to be seen. So I think maybe in next one quarter or so, probably we may have the better results to talk about. But yes, as a company, as a country, as an organization, and as the management people, we are committed to make the glass more green, as much green as possible.
Okay. And, you know, when we shift from thermal to electrical, which is renewable 17-18%, it would have definitely led to a significant lower cost from our perspective as well. Variable cost.
No, we are not shifting thermal to electrical. We are shifting a normal electrical to green electrical. We are trying to shift normal thermal to the green thermal. So that is one part. And second part is, right now the cost is not on our head, to be very honest. More sustainability and to make the glass green is on our head. Yes, when you make the electrical energy green, you get the lower power tariff. But then there is a big capex also, which goes on in that time.
I was looking more from a variable cost perspective.
I think normal electrical and green electrical has a very small delta of the benefit, on the commercial benefit. It is more towards the environmental and sustainability commitments.
Okay. Right. So last question from my side is, you know, I think in the end of the fiscal, last fiscal or in the beginning of this fiscal, you know, we talked about a 10% kind of a growth for this particular fiscal year. But first half, we are, you know, from a total income perspective, we are almost flat. So do you think you will be able to, you know, kind of catch up for to reach those kind of numbers that we spoke about in one of the calls?
I think, Mr. Sikka, can you reply on this, please?
Basically, you see, the responses which we have given last time was based on certain parameters. You know, the furnaces have been relined. The available tonnages will be slightly higher now.
Hmm.
The capacity utilization on the 154 ton furnace is consistently increasing. So, fairly confident that although the market has been a little bit volatile on the sales side, but I think our internal efficiency affects a bit to higher profitability. But we should be able to have that 10% you know, overall sales. Let's see.
Okay. Great. Best of luck, sir. And thank you so much. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please proceed. Ms. Richa, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response from the current questioner, we'll move to the next question from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Excellent performance on EBITDA margin front. Your efforts on optimization are really commendable. I was reading the annual report on the granular initiatives you have taken for the same. Excellent. You know, you have substantially higher margins than maybe some smaller other listed players. Can you throw some light on how you compare versus the margins of, let's say, players in Firozabad belt or other unorganized players? And if any other player even tries to getting to your level of efficiency, how many years ahead do you think you are versus others?
Very tempering question, sir. Thank you very much for that. And my answer may be look little arrogant to you, but since you have asked the question, I have to reply that. I do not think we are competing with the Firozabad cluster at all. Firozabad cluster has a different way of working. Though the product may be same, the process is different, the commitments are different, and everything is different. And that is what exactly we have been talking about, that the measures we take to produce the material on a sustainable manner, on management principle level when you do the business. So the results may be late, but they come ultimately in a better shape. So I don't think so. Why I'm saying it is not comparable? Because the type of technology, the type of furnace they use, and the type of furnaces and technology, other things we use, machines, everything, it's altogether different. So it is going to give us the result in a better numbers, whatever we are getting it.
So we have been doing a lot of technological advances over the years.
Yeah.
So would it be correct to say that technologically wise and SKU wise, we can make all the products which are manufactured by let's say a top class glass bottle manufacturer, container manufacturer in the world?
Absolutely. As a proud Indian and a part of the AGI management team, I can very well say we can produce all the products what have been produced globally, and we are supplying to the global customers. Even the customers, global customer present in India, even the global customer present outside. So we are present, we are supplying, and we will continue our supplies to them. And every day we are taking up the new challenges to produce best of the products.
So, you know, I've been reading about your initiative on exports, right, attending this business exhibitions and all. So, just wanted to ask, how has the outcome been? Like, what is the typical time taken from your first interaction with an international customer, onboarding, product development and sale made? Also, I saw you have opened a subsidiary in UAE. So, some insights on that?
number one, when you go for the exhibitions and conferences where you try to sell your product, so it is a vector sum of so many factors. See, one is I am trying to exhibit my product. Number two is you are trying to tell about your company. They are going to take a trial. They will also do all sort of confirmation about our company, about our ethical working, our old supplies, our history and everything. So it's a bit of time is being taken till the time you establish yourself with any of the customers. And it's a good thing. So rather than we feel bad about that, I feel this is a good entry point or entry barrier for any new suppliers to come because they have to pass through all these parameters. And regarding the UAE, it's a conduit to supply to the UAE because all these countries, they want the local presence and the local services. By opening this entity, we will be locally present. We will establish the local service chapter. We will see that we are next to the customer, understanding them more and start supplying from them. So it's a conduit and it's a compulsory to service them better.
Also, you know, considering that glass bottle is a voluminous product, so how efficient is exporting glass bottles abroad considering the freight cost, right? And what is the usual difference between the realization when a product is sold in India and when exported? Some insights on that, sir.
The export potential is not visible like a steel potential globally. You have to find out the pockets. The pockets are geographical pockets. The pockets are the product pockets. So we continuously innovate and design the products which are required in those countries and not produced in those countries. So we have done a great study and we understand okay, where is the potential and where are the pockets where we can sell. So these type of pockets can easily absorb the local freight or the freight part from demand and supply part.
So for a big player in export, the edge would be coming from a better quality product or cost or logistically being closer?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Because if you are shipping a low quality product or a commodity product, probably they may not be able to sustain the freight part. So only the value-added product, only the special product, only they will be able to sustain the freight.
So, you know, one question on the HNG front, it's a public information. So, I saw in their annual report that they are carrying around 1200 crores of unabsorbed depreciation, business loss and tax credits. So, would it be okay to assume that this 1200 crores of tax loss, if you are able to acquire them, you will also be able to use it?
I think Mr. Sikka will reply on this.
Two separate entities. And income tax doesn't work on the consolidated profitability once the acquisition is done. So post the acquisition has its own set of profitability and AJ will own set of profitability in the respective tax shields. So right now in the immediate future till the both the organizations merge into one, this carry forward loss can be used only with the HNG, within HNG.
Yeah, within HNG at least they will be able to get it, right?
Yeah.
On the balance sheet front, right, I was seeing on the investment property side, there's a huge investment property that you have, both on land and building. So can you just give some information on the location, some idea on size and the fair market value, and what is the outlook on them? Like, do we plan to retain them, especially the land?
So these are various parcels of land, and when you see our results, part of our land parcels, land and building parcels are given on rent to the other group company, for which the approvals have been already sought from the shareholders for a span of around 10 years with the rentals also done. So in the near future, right now we don't see any opportunity to, you know, realize cash from them because most of these are being put to the productive uses right now. But we haven't done the fair valuation, I'll say the real market, you know, potential valuation for each of the parcels of the land, but since the many parts of the land are very old and they should have an intrinsic value of its own, but right now these have been restated, I think over in 2010 or 11 under the court scheme, some parcels of land, but most of them are appearing at the book value right now.
Because NAND would not be having a lot of use case for you, right? So do you plan to, because you are going to do a debt acquisition, right, for SMG. So, if some money is available, why not just use that then, if the asset is not being used? And also fair market value, I guess, as per Ind AS, you are required to get, right?
But fair market doesn't mean revaluation of land. So when I mean to say fair valuation, so let's say we acquired a parcel of land in 1970 at 100 rupees. So it's not necessary that we revalue to the current market value of that land. So it shouldn't be, if there is an impairment, then we put it down. The upward is not done like that.
No, that I understand. So revaluation is not needed, but fair market value, I think you are required to disclose?
No. Not the real current market value of those parcels of land. That doesn't require a disclosure.
Okay. So no plan of monetizing that, right, at the moment?
No, nothing as such.
If I can please, one more question on the PET bottle side. So in one of the con calls, you mentioned that one is the PET bottles which are being used by alcoholic beverages player. One is a very generic type of plastic and one is a high-end plastic. So does the and I've seen that a lot of alcohol players actually make bottles in-house. So does the customer make both kind of bottles in-house, or do we have any scope to capture this market as well? Like how do we we being a packaging specialized player, how do we differentiate ourselves?
Normally what happens in a business, if the business focus on their core product, so they are able to sustain on a long-term better. Yes, we understand some alcohol beverages people, they make their own bottles and all. But as the technology upgrades and as the new investment comes, so they may be facing off in a technological gap as such. I don't think so. The high-end products in plastic are being made by the alcohol beverages. If at all anything is there, you can count it on fingers. But we are talking with respect to the small market of PET, which they are being incurred in the alcohol segment. So more or less, I think people are inclined and they have moved towards the glass. And whatever things have not moved, I think the glass industry has to play their strategy. And on a long-term basis, what we have seen in the Western world, slowly things will start moving to the glass. May not be today, but tomorrow.
All right. This is just one last question. So any furnace, right, which will go for relining, schedule maintenance, debottlenecking in the next 6 to 12 months, right? Because that helps us in understanding whether some volume loss can come or not. So anything which you think can have some maintenance happening in 6 to 12 months? Hello.
This should be we don't have furnace relining for, to the best of my knowledge, around 24 months now.
Yeah, for next 12 months, there is no relining which is going to come now. So, we are quite safe till next 12 months.
So, maybe I understand relining happens after a period of 9 to 10 years. So, maybe right now,
please request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up questions, sir. Participants.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Next question is from the line of Richa from Equitymaster. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please go
Hello,
ahead.
Am I audible? Yeah, yes. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, post this de-bottle making exercise, if you could help me with the capacities in specialty and normal glass by the end of FY25.
I couldn't get your question. And on debottlenecking, we have already taken a question.
The question is, what would be the capacity post debottlenecking by the end of FY25? What is the capacity, current capacity, or what kind of capacities are we going to end up with?
Our capacity is same. Ma'am, our capacity is same. Whatever the capacity we have indicated on our website or on our earlier reports, so the capacity will remain same. Only with the debottlenecking, some additional numbers we are able to achieve, like, for example, better efficiency. So the good product comes out. So it is like that. The capacity will remain same.
So as per my understanding, it's 154 tons for specialty and a bit below 1900 for normal.
That is an additional capacity of the specialty product we have added. And this specialty product is different from the commercial products what we have been manufacturing earlier.
Okay. And sir, how big is the market in specialty glass? And, you know, if you could help me understand what kind of opportunity is there, because the realizations are really high, and who are the big players? And, you know, if there is any vision of increasing the share in this segment?
Okay, ma'am. In the specialty product, on a global scale, we may be less than 1%.
Okay, and but what are the challenges? Is it like within India? What is the opportunity size?
Madam, the challenges are this market is evolving. Number two, this market being expensive, I think the growth is different. It is only in the niche segment. It is not easy to produce. A lot of technology is required, and a lot of manpower, skill manpower is required to sustain this business. And that is one of the business. Okay, this business takes a bit of time to stabilize, but then it gives the good result once it is on track.
Okay. And my third question is, you know, what is the current share of exports? And in 2 to 3 years, you know, with the subsidiary and all the exhibitions.
You mean to say specialty?
No,
specialty?
Regarding exports, sir.
Total export, total business, yeah, total company export.
What is the share of exports in revenue? And within, in 2 to 3 years, where do you see this mix heading?
It's close to around 5% or less than 5%. Because as a marketing strategy, we are here to serve the domestic market on priority, on first basis. And only the balanced quantity we plan to export it. Since India economy is booming and growing very fast, so I think the very less volumes are available for exports for us. But yes, as a strategy, we are putting our footprint so that we are always ready to explore whenever we want to do that. So that's the reason we have opened our Dubai office, we are opening offices, or we are opening our channels in the other countries, so that we are always ready to explore whenever we like to have. And the scope of export is much better in the specialized and value-added products, and that is what we are doing already.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Sikka for the closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everybody for joining the call today. I hope most of the questions which were there, we have been able to answer. If you still have questions, we'll always like to have a feedback from your side or a questionnaire from your side, and we'll be happy to make a response. Thanks again for joining the call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.